When you mention the word church, people respond in many different ways. Depending on the setting that you're in, depending on the place that you're in, depending on wherever you might be, if you were asked somebody about church, several different things might go through their head. Maybe they think of church as maybe a meeting once a week. You know, it's the time that people get together and they talk about God and they sing songs and they do this. And it's a great time in their minds, and yet that's the only time. You see, even to some people, it's optional. They think, well, if there's nothing else that gets in the way of church, then I'll be a part of it. But, you know, there are other things that take priority in my life. Some people may think church is boring. Don't nod off on me this morning, or I may think that of you. Some think church is boring. Some think church is just made up of a bunch of hypocrites. I'm not going to church. All those people are hypocrites. Well, don't go to the gym, because there's a lot there too. Some people think church is outdated. You know, it's just old-fashioned. The things that they talk about, the things that are preached about, the things that people do, it's just, oh, that's old. That's outdated stuff. I don't want a part of that. And so in their minds, they think, well, church needs to keep up with the times and culture, and so they need to change the way they do things. And that's what some people think about church. Some people like it. Some people don't. Some could take it. Some could leave it. But it seems that everybody knows what the church should be like. And that's what's curious to me. It's no wonder, with so many perceptions of church and how people look at church, that so many think church is optional. Not a big deal in my life, not that important. Why do we even need to go to church? What's the big deal? Can't I just be a Christian at home? Can't I just be a good person and everything be all right, and God see me as being pleasing to Him? Some people don't look at church as something that's important but a waste of time. It's no wonder, and this is so greatly concerning to me, that many don't really understand why church, and for lack of other phraseology, church stuff should be important in one's life. Many people think that they can do without the church. Many people ask, well, why does it really matter? Why does church matter? What's the big deal about church? For those who struggle with this and understanding this or thinking about church, either they, and we're talking about Christians for the most part, either they have forgotten or, and if I step on toes here, you know, it's not that I'm trying to step on your toes. I'm aiming for your heart. It's either that they have forgotten or they don't really care. But it's just not a big deal to them in their life. Oh, I'll go and I'll please my spouse, or I'll please my parents, or I'll please somebody. I'll show up and everybody thinks that I'm doing what's right. And think that, well, people must know that church matters to me. But why is it, or it just seems that there are so many who don't understand what Christ envisioned for His church? Many, it seems, don't really understand why it's important. Why He died for it. Why He would go through all that He went through for this. It's a lot of times people don't even understand what church is. And they certainly don't understand its place in God's heart. I want you to look with me this morning at Acts chapter 2. We're going to revisit verses 41 through 47. Because the thing that I want you to understand most this morning, and I hope and I think most of you do, is that the Lord never thought the church as optional in our life. That in His eyes, it is essential in the life of the Christian. And when I say church, I'm talking about the whole gamut. I'm talking about worship as we're gathered this morning. I'm talking about whenever we gather together for class, whenever we get together, the activities that we're involved in, VBS, whatever is going on, all those things that are done to glorify God and to encourage others and to evangelize this community and to teach and strengthen our faith and our families. Every bit of it is important. None of it should be seen as optional. None of it should be seen as, well, I've got other things that I need to do. If you think that, I want you to envision Jesus on the cross. And I want you to think in your minds, is what I'm doing glorifying God if I could be gathered with God's people instead? I want you to really think about that. And I want you to ask yourself, what did Jesus die for? Did He die for my pleasure and me to have my time and do what I want to? Or did He die for me to be His and to serve Him and to glorify God while I have this short time on this earth? I want you to think about that. As we go to Acts chapter 2, and you look at verse 41 through 47, and you might be saying, well, we know this passage. We've seen this verse a lot. We know what's happened here. But sometimes I think we forget the characteristics and description of the Lord's church. Because here you're going to find a group, you're going to find a body, you're going to find a people who were united, who were loving, and who were those who shared everything that they had. Sometimes this is where people get, well, the church is outdated, times were different, the situation, the circumstance was different there. You know, we're not really that close, are we, or to be that close? Folks, I want you to understand that nothing has changed. The church still matters. When you look at Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 41, Peter had preached the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is God's power unto salvation. And we know that it has power, and you see the power working here. And we find here, as Peter had preached the gospel, people responded to the gospel. And it says, so those who received His word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now I want you to listen, and I want you to pick out, and I want you to underline if you need to, underline some of these descriptions of the church. And they devoted, there's one, devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, there's another one, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, there's another, and had all things in common. How about that? And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, did you hear that? Attending the temple together. Wow. And breaking bread in their homes. Hospitality. They received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Folks, when you revisit the beginning of the Lord's church, does it sound like it mattered? Does it sound like it mattered? I see one head doing this. When you revisit the beginning of the Lord's church, you see that it absolutely mattered. When you read that and you absorb those words and what's happening in that situation, does it seem like the church mattered to these people? Absolutely. It was essential in their lives. Now, has anything changed? Let me tell you, nothing has changed about the Lord's church. It's still His. He still died for it. It's still to be important in our lives. If there is anything that has changed about the church, it's our attitude toward and our loyalty to God's church. That's what's changed. It's our laziness. It's our lack of concern. It's our allowing Satan in our lives to deceive us, to think, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that important. It doesn't deserve that much of my time. If anything has changed, it is our attitude and it is our thought process when we're thinking about what church is and what it should mean to me and to my life. You know what? As we think about church and church stuff, it is to be important in our life. It's to be as important as it was to Christ. And if it's not as important as it was to Christ in our life, then we have some work to do. We have some attitudes to change, and we have some priorities to adjust. Because realize this morning, Jesus considered the church as vital in our lives. How do we know that? How do we know Jesus thought this much of the church? How do we know that He wanted us to be actively involved as a member of His body and its works and for each of us to fellowship? Why does He even care that we're gathered together today to worship? Why is it such a big deal? Why does it even matter? Why should it be a big part? I said that wrong. Not a big part. Why should it be our life? You see, we chalk church up with something that we do. Okay, I've done that this week, I'm good. Jesus did die on the cross for us to check that, okay, I've done something, it's good. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be a part of His body. And as a part of His body, that we would be functioning and doing and working in all things to glorify God. He wants everyone to be a part, an integral part of His body. Not just when it's convenient for us, not when it's just easy, not when something else comes up and takes precedent in our life. He wants us to live this life in the body. The idea that you can be a good Christian and not be involved and be an active member of the Lord's church is not from the heart of God. It's a deception that Satan has put in our hearts. It's a deception that Satan wants us to continue to live. It was never His intention for us to be part-time Christians. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we could serve Him just when we felt like it. You see, our lives in Christ are much more than that. And anybody who takes a close look at the New Testament will see the church is necessary to our relationship, first of all with God, with the Lord, but also with each other. Recently, we've had lessons on one another things in the Bible, one another things, and how we see that together we're better, together we grow, together we're strengthened, together we serve. That was God's intention from the beginning. Again, go back and read Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. You know how they were able to do all that they were due? You know how they were able to survive? You know how they were able to grow? Not just grow, multiply. Because they understood their relationship to the Lord and their relationship to one another. And they took that serious. Church wasn't a part of their lives, it was their lives. Can we say the same thing today? It should be that we do say that by how we live. The church that Jesus built, we understand, and if we're going to understand that Jesus considered the church as vital in our lives, the church that Jesus built, let's first of all understand it doesn't belong to us. I cringe sometimes when I hear people say, my church. I understand what they mean, but it's Christ's church. It's the Lord's church. It belongs to Him. We have to understand this is not just an important concept. This is essential for us in giving our lives and for church to matter in our life. We have to understand that He built it. It's His. It belongs to Him. After Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, He said, I also say to you that you're Peter and upon this rock. He wasn't building the church upon Peter. He was building the church upon that confession that Peter made, that He is the Christ, that He is the Son of the living God. He said, I will build my church. And He goes on to say this, and this is powerful. And He said, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Jesus took the time to build His church, and He's saying that not even His death is going to prevent this. The church belongs to the Lord because we understand He purchased it. Paul, by inspiration, he told the elders of the church at Ephesus in Acts 20 and verse 28, he said this, he said, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His blood. Now, if Jesus loved the church enough to die for it, you getting this? If Jesus loved the church enough to die for it, how could we ever think so little of the church? How could we ever give so little of our time or so little of our effort or so little of our concern to the church if He was willing to die for it? You see, the church was precious to Him. Can we say the same? Can we say the church is our life? It mattered to Him because He purchased it. You continue to read the New Testament and you find that the Bible reveals how closely related Christ is to His church. In Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, there Paul tells us, he says, He put all things in subjection under His feet. And he says, and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body. It says, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. You see, just as your head is inseparably connected to your body, so Christ is inseparably connected to the church. You can't separate the two. I've heard people say before, oh, I want Christ, but I don't want the church. Oh, I want Christ, but you know, I don't want all of that other stuff that comes with it. Guess what? You can't separate the two. They're inseparably connected because Jesus is the head. And just as your body does your will as it is conceived in your brain, we understand so the church does the will of its head, who is Jesus Christ. The church is the fullness of Christ. You see, folks, as the body, we represent Jesus. We represent all of Jesus. We represent who He is. We represent what He taught. We represent what He loved. And we represent Him to this world. So we understand the church is the fullness of Christ. And so we can't never separate Christ from His church or the church from Christ. The church is more than a little precious to the Lord. You see, the Lord considers the church as His bride. I want you to think about that. Can you picture that beautiful picture? Jesus considers the church as His bride. If you look in Ephesians chapter 5, you'll read about this in verses 25 through 27. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, so that He might sanctify her, it says, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. I mentioned in the announcements that there was a sweet little wedding yesterday. Two who are older coming together later in life. And folks, I wish you could have seen the looks on their faces, how he looked at his bride. How proud, how excited, how happy, how joyful. This is the way Jesus sees the church. It's His bride. Do we see the church the same way? Or again, is it something we check off and something we do, something we go to every now and then? If it is, we're missing the beautiful picture that God is painting for us. We're missing what Jesus died for. We're missing what we should be, not a part of, but should be our life. You see, we can't separate Christ and the church. We can't neglect the church and accept and think that we're following Christ. We can't give ourselves partly to the church and think we've given everything to Christ. You can't separate the two. And Jesus sees the church as his bride. Jesus has gone to great lengths to bless and to sanctify the church. As His bride, He wants her to be radiant with glory. And that's how we think about a beautiful bride. We think about that brilliance of the dress. We think about how she looks. We think about how radiant she is as she walks down that aisle. This is how Jesus sees the church. This is how Jesus sees us. But my question this morning is, does He recognize us as His bride? Are we radiating that beauty? Are we glorifying Him in all things? Are we loving Him as He's loving us? Are we giving ourselves to Him as He has given Himself to us? You see, we've got to be careful how we think and how we talk about the church. It belongs to Christ, and He's coming back for it one day. Will He recognize us as being the church? Will he recognize us as his beautiful bride? You see, the church is not just a little precious to the Lord, it's everything to him. He gave up everything for the church. And so therefore, it's not something we just come to once a week. It's not something that we give lip service to or that we think about, or maybe we do something good every now and then. It's who we are. And we've got to be active and involved in not just a part, but our life. That's what church is. That's what Jesus died for. The Scriptures clearly make the church Jesus built a necessity for us, because we need each other. And we need the church in order to please God and in order to glorify Him in this life. So why should it matter? Why should church, why should worship and classes and activities and meetings and all these things that, you know, it's just, there's just so much. I'm just going to pick and choose some things that I have time for, may not interfere. No. Why should it all matter? Why should church be a big deal in our life? Why should it not be boring to us? Why should it not be optional? But why should it mean everything? There are several reasons. But I want to just give you a few to consider this morning and take with you and to just think about. And not only think about, but I want you to pray about it. Because if you struggle to make church your life, I'm praying for you. But also, if you think that church is your life, but you're not active and you're not involved and you're not giving yourself wholly, I'm praying for you too. But I'm praying for myself to be an example in all things, to make sure that it is my life. But the first thing that I think we should consider is that it's important because of the fact that the Lord adds the saved to the church. Why is the church so important? Why should it be so important in our lives? Well, in Acts chapter 2, when the Jews at Pentecost, when they heard Peter preach, as we talked about, it says they were pierced to the heart. That's why I said earlier that as we talk about these things, I don't want to step on your toes. I don't want anyone to kick you in the knee. I want you to be pierced in the heart. I want it to hit where it needs to hit. And I want you to really think about these things and pray about these things and be concerned about the things that we should be concerned about. And that's the things of Jesus. But he says there that they were pierced to the heart and they wanted to know, what else is there for us to do? You know, it wasn't for them that they just acknowledge, oh, okay, we know who you are. We have that faith. We believe who you are. They understood that there was more to it now. Their life was going to change. Their life had changed because of that faith, but it's going to change even more. It's going to look different. Their priorities are going to be different priorities now. Their concerns are different concerns. Their love is different love. They wanted to know what to do. Peter told them, or Peter replied, and he says, you know what? You need to repent. There's got to be change in your life. But not only do you repent, he said, be baptized. Be baptized for the forgiveness. He said, there is a specific reason for you to do this. You're not saved until you do this. That's what Peter is saying. He says, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. A couple verses later in verse 41, as we read earlier, on that day, about 3,000 believed his message, but then they followed through with what he said and were baptized. As we read in verse 47, the Bible says, and the Lord was adding to their number. Whose number? The church. That's who he's talking about. Day by day, those who were being saved. Now the Lord adds the saved or the baptized who are forgiven to what? To His church. Not to anything else. Not to any other religious group. You look at the simplicity of the New Testament and what we find here in the beginning of the church, He says to His church. Understand that baptism was the time when they received their forgiveness. That's what the Bible teaches. That was the time that they were saved. And so when a person is saved, the Lord adds him to His church. To be in the church means the Lord has saved you. We must notice that the Scriptures never consider a person who is saved as a person who hasn't been baptized or a person who is not in the Lord's church. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. Why does the church matter? Well, it matters because that's where the saved are. And it certainly needs to matter to me, and it needs to be vital in my life as I understand this is where the saved will be. But secondly, the church is important to me because it's the kingdom of Christ. You see, there's two kingdoms in this world. When we look at this and see that there are two kingdoms, we have the domain of darkness, and we know who rules over that, but we also have the kingdom of His beloved Son. When we read in Revelation 1, verses 4 through 6, when John, he was writing to the seven churches of Asia, and he revealed to them what Christ has done for them. And there he says this, "To Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood, and He has made us to be a kingdom." Why does the church matter to me? Why is it important? Because it's the kingdom of Christ. If I'm not a part of the kingdom of Christ, then what's my only other option? I'm of the kingdom of this world, the domain of darkness. I'm letting Satan rule my life. And you see, we can't ride the middle. We can't, you know, be on both sides of the fence. We're going to be on one side or the other, and we had better want to be in the kingdom of Christ because that's where the blessings lie. They're only in Christ. John was speaking to a people who had come into a kingdom and were priests to God. And John taught that we Christians are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. So to enter the church is to enter the kingdom of the beloved Son. Do we need more proof? Well, Jesus Himself spoke of the church as a kingdom. Matthew 16, as we read verse 18, but also verse 19. The church is the blood-bought kingdom of God today. Acts 20 and verse 28. Yes, it matters. It's important in our life. The third thing, though, being in the church means that you're blood-bought. But there's no promise of being blood-bought to those who are outside the church. The church contains the cleansed, but the others outside are not cleansed. The kingdom contains the priest of God, but those outside are not priests to God. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 12 that whoever has the Son has life. Did you hear that? Whoever has the Son has life, but whoever does not have the Son, it says, does not have life. You see, being in the Lord's church is vital. It's necessary to what? Our eternal salvation. Does it sound like we can separate Christ from the church? No. We can't have one and neglect the other, because it's vital to our eternal salvation. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 2, we find something that is very important. It contrasts the difference between people who are in the world and outside of Christ from those who come into Christ and are in His church. Paul reminds those at Ephesus of what they had before they became members of the church or the body of Christ. In verses 12 and 13 of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says this, "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ." You see, you were outside of Christ. You were not in the church. And he says that you were separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. Listen to this, folks. Having no hope and without God in the world. But here's the beautiful part. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." There we see how important the blood of Jesus is. We see how vital it is in our life and should be in our life. If you go on down to Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verses 19 through 22, I'm not going to read it, but Paul describes them after they became Christians. He says, "Before they were strangers without hope, before you were without God." He says, "But now you're God's family. Your fellow citizens in God's kingdom, the church." This is why the church should matter to me. This is why the church should matter to you. This is why the church should not be a part of your life, but be your life. Because being in the church means that you're a member of the family of God. Paul identified the church as God's household in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. He said, as the household of God or the family of God, it's the pillar and the ground of the truth. You see, it should matter to me. And again, we should not just want to be part of the church, but it should be our life. It's what Jesus died for. Again, we can't have one foot in and one foot out. We have to be all in. Last week, if you remember, we talked about being living sacrifices. And we talked about how vital it is in our life as we were talking about Memorial Day and all the things that it represents. We were talking about commitment and sacrifice. We've got to give ourselves completely to what Jesus died for. This has to be and must be our life. This is not optional. And if we try to justify, and if we continue to try to justify, we're just deceiving ourselves, thinking that if we give a little lip service and just a little bit of our time, that we're pleasing God. I don't want to leave this earth and this life without having proclaimed the whole counsel of God and without having pleaded with everyone that I possibly can to not just be a part-time Christian. Because you won't receive the full-time benefits. But to give your lives fully to the Lord. Because He deserves it. And in the church, we are the family of God. The children of God are in the church. And the very act that puts one into the family of God, it puts one into the church. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." You see, baptism as an act of faith is what makes us children of God. Can you say that you're a part of the family today? And not just a part, but an active member of the body of believers. As we strengthen, as we encourage, as we do all of those things to try to help each other to heaven. My plea this morning is this. Don't give some of yourself to Christ. But give all. And if you struggle with that, look at the cross. Do you know why those people in Acts chapter 2, do you know why they did the things that they did? Do you know why they sacrificed what they sacrificed? Do you know why it was a priority in their life? Because they actually lived in the shadow of the cross. They understood the sacrifice that was made. They understood the commitment that Jesus made on the cross, and they understood the commitment they should make to Him. Maybe we're so far removed from the cross we forget that, or we don't understand that fully, or we don't see it. But let's open our eyes. Let's see what's truly important, because when we do, because of God and through God, as we glorify God, great things will happen. Amazing things will happen as we go all in. So this morning, understand this. Church is not just a meeting once or twice a week. As God designed and as Jesus died for, church is all about being a community where inspiration to do greater things takes place. Please understand, this is what it's supposed to be. It's where deeper love is explored. It's where enriching relationships happen. It's where we find authentic living. It's where we realize that the church is supposed to be a community where individuals are cared for, where gifts are used effectively, where people are challenged to grow beyond themselves to look more like Jesus. That's the church that Jesus died for. That's what we're to be a part of. And when we realize that the church is God's family, when we realize that it's the beautiful bride of Christ, when we realize that it is the body of Christ of whom we are supposed to be actively engaged, doing our part, doing whatever it is we can, We realize that it is the saved and it's the blood-bought institution of Jesus. We can see why it's important to God. And hopefully we see why it should be vital in our lives and why it should matter to us. So I leave it with you this morning. Does the church matter to you? Does what Jesus did on the cross, does it matter to you? Is it a big deal? You better believe it. This morning, if you're not a Christian and you want to be a part of God's family, all you have to do is what they did in Acts